Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode's sponsored by Good Ranchers. Most people don't realize this, but over 85% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is actually imported from overseas. It's a system that often pushes out American farmers and ranchers. That's why it matters to be intentional about where you buy your meat. That's why I choose Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers connects you directly with local American farms and ranches. 100% American meat, pasture-raised, no antibiotics, no added hormones. Delivered straight to your door. Make the switch to better meat. Go to GoodRanchers.com to start your plan and get premium American meat delivered right to your door. That's GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Do you know what some sick fuck asked us the other day?
Oh yeah, wait till you hear this one.
Again, some sick fuck asked us. It was like a morbid, which would you rather? Yeah?
It was an impossible one.
Well, that's the point. He set us up. So the question was, we were talking about egging, right? And the question was, would you rather engage in a sexual activity with a dead body?
Necrophilia.
Or would you rather have to wear the skin suit? Now, to me, it's a pretty obvious answer. I would rather wear the skin suit than engage in any type of sexual activity with a dead body.
Yeah,
but where it gets a little bit tricky, the skin suit, part of that is you have to make it yourself.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So it's not even just like I put it on and, you know, you got to create it.
But getting in the suit, you're in it.
Yeah, you're looking at it's the very kind of intimate thing itself.
Yeah.
It's very involved.
So like the way I looked at it, I might be wrong in the way I said it, but I was like, so it's either your whole body is in it or just one part of your body is in it.
Yeah, no, it's the sexual side of it. I can't.
Well, just shut that out.
I can't. I can't do that. That's so far beyond the fucking line for me. So, yeah. I mean, horrified getting asked this question, but to me it was still like, well, I know which I'd rather. Straight off the bat. Whereas Neil sat there thinking about it. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
Because one is going to be like 30 seconds and the other one is a lot of work.
Yeah, you've got to play Goodbye Horses and you've got to do a little dance.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't actually part of it, my mind.
Yeah.
That's where I go.
So you've got one what's a lot of work and a lot of effort, and then you've got to put this smelly thing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like 20, 30 seconds of activity and then you're done.
Activity.
Yeah.
No, I can't get my head around it. But I mean, that is the point of the question.
Like my first answer was fucking none.
No, but you can't do that. The point is you've got to pick one. You got to pick one. I mean, again, hard one, but I've got to go with the skin suit.
It's one of them, you know when people are like, no, you got to pick one. Right, imagine someone's got a gun to your head. Tell them to pull the trigger. I'm not fucking doing either.
If that was the option, yes, I would rather do neither. But, I mean, if I'm to force your hand, you lean towards sexual activity. Are you sticking with that?
Did I?
At the time, anyway, so I'm giving you a chance. You've had time to reevaluate. Are you going with the skin suit or the necrophilia?
Yeah, I think originally I was like, I'd rather just do something what's 20 seconds and then that's it.
Mm. Do you know what? Again, as we quite often do, because we're on different pages here, we'll throw it to the listeners if you want to answer. But go with A or B. Don't get us like banned on like Instagram.
Yeah, don't be spreading it around, but Neil wants to do necrophilia.
No, do. Yeah, so skin suit is A, option A, and sexual activity is B.
But it's not, remember, it's not just wearing the skin suit. You've got to make it. You've got to cut that off the corpse.
So it's much more prolonged. You've got to work for at least a few weeks on it.
Yeah.
Probably months,
so
really.
Look at it that way. Weeks or 20 seconds.
Yeah. So let us know. And shout out to that twisted fuck who asked the question, because we know he listens.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Hello and welcome to Hooked on True Crime, the podcast where we unravel the clues, tie up the loose ends, and when no victim becomes a footnote to somebody else's story, with your host, Ali Downey.
And Sarah Downey. We record an episode together every week where we talk about all aspects of true crime, but especially the cases that might otherwise fall through the cracks and the stories that might otherwise not be told. We also have some pure dead brilliant banter and mention whatever domestic misdemeanors I've committed that week, such as bending all of your teaspoons.
You do that. Hooked on True Crime is a whole lot of true crime stories meticulously researched by Ali.
We've interviewed people like Colin Sutton, who were directly involved with investigations, and we've sat down with people like Ray and Vi Donovan, who turned tragedy into something truly incredible with their campaigning for restorative justice. So, if you want more than opinions and hearsay, I bring the facts while Sarah does crochet.
Give us a listen, anywhere, anytime, and we very much hope to see you next crime.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, with that out of the way, what have you got for us today?
Well, Neil, today we are going to be talking about Charles Albright, also known as the Eyeball Killer.
No. Why? Why? Well, no, I know why. I know exactly why. Why are you doing this to me?
Well, I kind of have to do it to you in the sense that you are my co-host.
Yeah, so just don't cover it.
I mean, unless I was going to do a solo episode, but I think our listeners would really, really miss your participation.
Yeah, I bet they would, yeah.
I promise you it's not too involved. The title leads you to believe it's going to be, in terms of details, yeah. It's fucking horrific what happens. But in terms of the details I'm giving you, it's not going to be too graphic.
Yeah, I bet. Not too graphic for you.
Yeah.
My toes curled when you said eyeball killer.
I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park, but I think you'll be able to manage it.
Mm.
And also, straight off the bat, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Well, I already know after this, I'm putting Lion King on. I already know that's happening. No, actually, I might go Land Before Time. I haven't watched that in a while.
Charles Frederick Albright was born on the 10th of August, 1933. At just 3 weeks old, Charles was adopted by Fred and Dell Albright. The family lived in Oak Cliff, Dallas. Fred was a grocer and Dell was a stay-at-home parent.
Dallas is in Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, I'm telling you.
No, I know.
Oh.
Yee-yee. And
well,
all that.
Why didn't you say Dallas, Texas?
Yee-haw. Because I was saying Oak Cliff, Dallas. I think most people know Dallas is in Texas, no?
Some might not. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad we've cleared that up. Now, Dell was said to have deeply loved her son, but was strict in her approach to parenting.
Her?
Yes, Dell.
Dell?
Yes, Dell was his mother.
Dell is short for Derek. A Dell.
Dell is short for Derek.
Yes.
So,
Dell boy, I'm fucking Only Fools and Horses. Dell is short for Derek.
You don't think Del could be short for Adele or Della or what have you?
Oh, yeah, it could as well.
Delphine.
What?
Delphine.
Not a drug.
I don't think so. Also, if Del was the father, did you think that Fred was the mother?
I'd forgot what the other name was.
Mm. Anyway, deeply loved her son, but quite strict in her parenting.
Usually were, back then.
She desperately wanted the best for Charles, and this meant keeping him healthy, well-educated, and out of trouble. Unfortunately, her behaviour veered towards compulsive and overbearing. She was terrified that he would become ill, specifically worrying about polio. She always kept her son well-groomed and changed his clothes multiple times a day.
Fucking, they had money then.
They were well enough off. They weren't rich or anything like that, but they were okay. She was careful about his diet, even keeping goats in the garden for milk, as she felt it was a healthier alternative to cow's milk.
Is goat's milk fattier?
I think goat's milk is higher in nutrients.
Oh, okay.
But that's not to say that, you know, there's anything wrong with cow's milk.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not a fucking dietitian.
I love milk.
So do I.
Like, everyone takes the piss out of me at work if I go and get a glass of milk. And it's like, what's so funny about it?
I love a glass of milk with, like, you know, a bit of chocolate or something like that. You know what I mean? Brownie, maybe.
On its own.
I don't understand people having a glass of milk with dinner. That doesn't really, it's too much, the dairy drink, can't be dealing with that.
No. Might be because I missed the tit. I don't know.
She was militant in her rules and expectations, one of which was that he learn to play piano and ensured that he practice before school every day. If he were to not finish his meal, say, he would be severely punished for this. If he didn't want to take his nap, Del would tie him to the bed. He had a strict bedtime of 8 p.m, even as a teenager.
See, I couldn't manage that. You'd miss the bill.
Can you think of anything worse?
Well, yeah, so when I was a kid, there were certain TV shows, right? I guarantee, especially people who grew up in Britain, will agree with what I'm about to say. Heartbeat, The Bill. I'm trying to think what else. Heartbeat and The Bill are the ones what are standing out to me straight away. They were like, when that comes on, you're going to bed. Once that's finished, you're going to bed.
Mm.
It was a... You know, so during the week, you'd have your soaps at like 7, 7:30.
And then the double bill, then when they come back round at 8:30.
Yeah, but then you'd have like Heartbeat or The Bill. I can't remember, I think The Bill, and then when The Bill finished, I think Heartbeat took over that slot.
Mm.
So always it was hated. Like, when that finishes, you're going to bed.
Never liked either of those shows, thought they were both shite.
Well, clearly got no taste. Heartbeat was amazing.
You're only saying that because, you know, you're from the area. You got that pride thing.
From the area?
Yeah, Heartbeat's Yorkshire, isn't it?
You're up in fucking Moors.
Yeah. What's the difference?
Okay.
It's all out in the shticks, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At one point, Charles began to suffer from headaches. And because of this, Del insisted that he wear glasses. Although Charles had perfect vision. So clearly there are some issues here. But the positives she did try to instill in her son were good manners and respect for women. Particularly in regards to sex, although she may not have gone about it the right way. She told her son of how his father's behaviour bothered her. How if she was in the middle of getting changed and he were to see her in her underwear, without fail, he would have to approach and start pawing at her.
You can't be doing that. I think it even, you know, in relationships, I think look, don't touch is still a thing.
Well, I mean, I don't think it would be as big of an issue if it was every once in a while, but if it's at the point where, like, I can't just fucking change my top without, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can understand. When Charles got to the age where he was starting to date, Del would insist on driving him and his date.
Ah, fuck that. That's embarrassing.
Well, she also made a point to reassure the girl's parents that there would be no funny business.
No heavy petting.
No heavy petting. I love that term. Do you know I had a lipstick that was called Heavy Petting? It was a MAC lipstick called Heavy Petting.
Well done.
What do you mean, well done? I didn't come up with the name.
What did you get that one for?
It was lipstick, so to put it on my lips.
No, I know that. I didn't think you were going to put it across your forehead.
But what were you asking?
I mean, why did you go for one that was called Heavy Petting?
No, no.
Because you thought it was clever?
No, I like the colour. That's kind of what I'm looking for with the lipstick and the finish of it.
What was the colour?
It was kind of like a dark nude, I believe. I can't remember. It was years ago.
A dark nude?
Yeah, you know, like I wear quite a light, the creme de nude lipstick, which is, you know, peak.
Yeah.
That's my ride or die.
Yeah.
If I remember, maybe, was it a pink? It might have been more of a pink. This isn't really relevant. Why are you asking me this?
Well, actually, sorry, I don't want to keep going off topic, but now you've
got... But you're gonna.
Now you've got me going. Right. Yeah, I've only just realised this. So only yesterday, when you were doing your makeup, mm-hmm. I said to you, why don't, because you'd put lipstick on and then you'd put fucking lip gloss on over the top of the lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, why don't you, when you do what girls did when I was at school, girls would put the foundation on and then smear it across the lips.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put lip gloss on.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do that? And you like curled your lip up at me and said, don't be so fucking ridiculous and all this. But nude lipstick is the same colour as foundation. So
no,
why
it's not.
You just...
No, it's not. And also depends on the person's skin tone of what nude is to them. Now, admittedly, I'm the same skin tone as an uncooked chicken.
Fucking jellyfish.
But that's besides the point.
Hmm. Okay.
That's beside the point. I know I said besides. That's beside the point. And also, like I said to you, because you started questioning me on how I do my makeup. And I said, look, I understand, not to the same degree as the early 2000s, but sometimes a little bit of foundation over your lips to bring down the tone, the skin tone of your lips.
Mm.
But overall, I want to use a nude lipstick. I still want a little bit of, you know, the colour of it or the sheen or the, you know, whatever the shimmer that's in it.
Okay.
There's different finishes on your lipstick.
Okay. Well, we'll collect that one.
Have a bit of that.
Okay. So let's get back to them on the date.
Yes. So by now, it's not hard to imagine that Charles would have had these fairly conflicting views of his mother. Overall, she wanted the best for him. And you can certainly understand how once you've adopted a child, particularly if it's the case that you yourself have struggled to conceive, she would be incredibly protective.
Yeah.
But again, she may not have had the best approach. And her behaviour could easily be seen as overbearing and controlling. One activity that Charles and Dell did bond over was taxidermy. They were said to have collected dead animals that were found in their neighbourhood, such as squirrels or birds. Although Dell was a very frugal woman, who did not want to make what she would consider unnecessary purchases, one of these being the false eyes for the taxidermied animals.
Nope. I know exactly where you're fucking going with this.
Where am I going?
So she was using eyeballs from the animals and keeping them in the fucking taxidermy. And this bastard, he's going to murder people and put their fucking eyeballs in animals' fucking carcasses for taxidermy. Is that where you're going with this?
No.
Oh, okay. That'd be a sick killer, though, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. That's a Criminal Minds type shit.
Oh, I think they were on Criminal Minds.
Probably. Probably something that took inspiration from this case.
There was a taxidermy one and you were putting eyeballs in the fucking yeah.
So what you're saying is just ripping off an episode of Criminal Minds.
Well, I wasn't thinking of that, but now you've just said Criminal Minds. I'm fairly certain there is an episode on Criminal Minds. I can say Criminal Minds again.
Yeah. not sponsored.
Yeah.
No, that we're not getting quite that severe. Not quite that level.
Right.
Of twistedness.
Twistedness.
So what Charles and Dell would use in place of the false eyes was buttons from Dell's sewing kit. Once their projects were complete, they would proudly display the animals within a cabinet in their home.
So it looked like Mr. Bean's teddy bear.
There's something slightly more ominous about just the, like, a black button in the eye hole. It's a bit more... Did that bother you when I said eye hole?
Yeah.
You kind of, you show it right on the bit.
Straight away, Mr. Bean's teddy bear came to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, but Teddy's kind of cute.
Yeah, this I wanted one. I asked you to buy me one years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, they were on sale.
Well, your birthday's coming up. Do you want me to have a look about? See if we can find one.
As far as I know, they were limited edition. Like, you'd probably have to find them in China or somewhere.
What do you want one for? Where are you going to put it?
In bed.
You're going to sleep with your teddy.
I might have it on parcel shelf in car. So someone sat behind us in traffic's just got teddy. Fucking hell.
Now, her methods may not have always been the best way to motivate a person, but his mother's domineering manner did have results. In school, Charles was said to have been a great student, intelligent, excelling in science as well as being a gifted athlete. And I'm sure, to his mother's delight, Charles advanced 2 grades ahead. But Charles did get up to a fair bit of mischief. Things like stealing tests and making copies for his friends. Quote, Charlie was like the Pied Piper to the rest of us kids. We always wanted to see what he would do next. He was just so much damn fun. Now, the fun stopped when, in his late teens, Charles was arrested for the theft of hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise. Now, I believe he and other students broke into a jewellery store. That's... So it's not difficult to rack up.
You only need a couple of items.
Exactly.
Unless it's Argos.
Then you take the whole fucking store.
Argos jewellery. We're just...
Something else.
Something else. Is it still a thing?
I feel like Argos is kind of like weaning off. There's not as many about anymore.
I know they started closing down here, but I don't think they'll ever close down in the UK.
No, we use love them sovereigns.
Sovereigns,
you know what I
mean?
Where else are you to go?
Yeah, exactly.
When a juvenile probation officer met with Charles, he noted that he had never met someone quite like him. Someone who could convince themselves of their own lies so well. So, with this kind of behaviour, to believe your own fabrications with such conviction, was it purely in an attempt to avoid consequences? Or possibly, was Charlie doing this for self-preservation? Through his life so far, he'd been held to a high standard by his mother. Could you imagine her disappointment in him?
She must have punished him.
Well, that's what I'm... With the lies.
Yeah.
Could it have been a case he was like, you know, Mammy,
yeah,
you're a perfect little boy, couldn't possibly have done... And he's just convincing himself of it. I mean, that's a possibility.
There's loads of people I've been talking to and you know it's bullshit what they're saying. And while they're saying it, you're just there like, you believe this.
Yeah.
You actually believe this.
But I kind of feel like there's two sides to that, right? So when you meet these fucking compulsive liars, right?
Mm.
There's one side which is kind of like lighter hearted to me. When they're just lying about themselves to make themselves seem better.
Yeah.
They're kind of funny. They're not really hurting anyone. It's all about them. And I'm kind of like, oh, whatever. And then you meet these people who try to gaslight you into believing.
Yeah.
And you're just like, are you serious right now? Is this actually happening?
Yeah. Like, you might have someone who, you know, they're there, like you said, trying to big themselves up. So they'll lie about how much money they're on. And they still live at home with the parents. And they drive a shit car. They ain't got any bills to fucking pay. But they're always skint. And it's like, the math's not mathing.
Mm. Well, whatever the case may be, it comes as no surprise that Charles would continue being a little shit. And at age 17, he was incarcerated for a year. Unsurprisingly, his mother was devastated, and she did everything she could to rectify the situation, all while keeping the news of Charles' detention quiet.
It's her fault.
Well, sorry, go on.
What?
You said it's her fault.
It is. That was my statement.
What do you mean it's her fault?
Well,
you think because of her parenting, it drove him to it?
Yes.
I don't think it drives you to rob a jewellery store.
You want to let them, when they're younger, let them fuck about, let them find out, and discipline them when they fuck up. But she wasn't letting him fuck up. Fucking strapping him to a bed to have a nap.
Well, like you're saying, she wasn't letting him fuck up.
Yeah.
she did the same thing here. So although she was very hard on him, she would also try to get him out of these situations as well. When I say she did everything she could, I mean even volunteering to serve the sentence herself instead of her darling boy.
Right, fuck that. Fuck that.
Upon his release, Charles was doing the most. He enrolled in Arkansas State Teacher College, became president of the French Club, editor of the yearbook, and he was on the student council. He also made it onto the football team, although he had never played.
French.
His position was starting halfback.
French.
What about it?
What does he mean, president of French?
French club.
What's a French club?
A club where you speak French.
French lesson.
He also made it onto the football team, although he had never played before, taking on the position of starting halfback. Now what?
I don't know what that is. Halfback.
I don't. I'm just reporting the facts here. I know nothing about American football.
I've never heard of that. Halfback.
Now, we actually talked about this the other week. You ever meet those people who seem to do it all?
Yes.
Charles is one of these. I mean, do you know what the reality is? It's never fucking true.
Yeah.
You know, you do it all. Well, do you know what? All they're doing, whether they mean to do this or not, is making you feel like shit. You feel incompetent next to these people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we talk about, you know, beauty standards. Neil is not, I wouldn't say you're like against it, but you're not like overly into cosmetic procedures.
No.
I, on the other hand, think it's great. Go do what you want to do. But the issue with it is, if you're not being truthful about it, you know, when we see like the Kardashian like era of beauty standard.
Yeah.
And it's like, fucking go on, get whatever you want done. That's fantastic. But don't try and act like this is all natural. I just threw on some mascara, because that's when it starts becoming completely unattainable. I mean, obviously there's already the financial aspect, but that's when it's like, no, it's, look, you're being a dick and you're trying to make people feel inadequate.
Yeah. Well, right. Just before you move on, before loads of female listeners come at me in the comments, I'm not against cosmetic surgery. It's right.
Loads of females come at you.
What's wrong with that?
Why do you think a lot of women are going to come at you?
Well, it's the beauty industry and that, isn't it?
Yeah, the ones who are targeted by it, the ones who understand it. So if anything, they're going to be more like, yes, Neil's speaking for us, surely. Oh. I would have thought.
Well, what I was going to say is, I'm not against cosmetic surgery. It's, right, you just brought up Kardashians. They spend millions on their face. Wouldn't you say?
Among other things, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but let's focus on the face.
Okay.
Yeah, so they spend millions on their face.
Eyes up here.
But then you'll have someone who lives in Bradford on a council estate who saved up 10 grand and they're like, I'm going to get my face done. And then they come out looking worse than when they went in.
No, but that's your opinion. That's kind of, that's where I get annoyed with you.
Well, no, it's fact.
No. This is where I get annoyed with you when it comes to cosmetic procedures, right? Mm. I mean, we've all seen someone who's gone a bit too far with fillers and what have you.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. But the problem with you is when you, I mean, again, like I said, you're not as bad as you were, but you used to be like, oh, I fucking hate all that shit. Well, and I used to say to you, well, hang on now. There's quite a few, say, celebrities that you've gone, they're stunning, they're gorgeous. And I've gone, they've had so much work done just because they have more money.
Yeah. But then there's also celebrities who've got more money. Right. Listeners, Google Leslie Ash before and after when she was in Quadrophenia and then when she had surgery.
Why are you coming for her?
Well, put it this way, it's not money well spent.
I'm just like, I mean, I know I named the Kardashians, but like, come on. I have an issue with people who lie about it.
Okay.
I'm not saying you have to tell me everything you've had done, but when you're getting a lot done and then you're trying to fucking like, no,
yeah,
piss off.
This is all natural.
But yeah, no, that's my issue with you. There's so many celebrities that you'll say, oh, she's gorgeous. And it's like, but she's had work done. It doesn't mean she's not gorgeous. It just means don't put her in one category and then, you know, the fucking normal everyday girl, fuck her because she's had work done and you don't like how it looks.
Yeah, but
they're doing what they can with the money they have.
Yeah, but I think cosmetic surgery is the same as tattoos. It's like Someone might go and have a bit of lip filler, looks well on them, but then they get addicted and then they start having the cheeks puffed up or the fucking jawline pinned back or the cheekbones pulled back and all this. If you're just stuck with the lip filler, done. But it's the same with tattoos. People who usually get a tattoo don't just get one.
No, well, no, the thing is, I love tattoos, right? And if someone's covered head to toe, fair fucks to you.
Yeah.
You know, I think it can look great. But on that note, I've seen some tattoos and they are fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah? But that's my opinion and I keep it to myself. Whether you have one tattoo or 200 tattoos, me personally, it's like you go somewhere, you make sure it's a good artist. But the amount of pretty younger people I'm seeing nowadays and the fucking tattoos are brutal, but they think they're really good.
So,
and so why are you paying for it? Like, they're terrible.
I'm sure our listeners are going to enjoy this one. When I first moved to Ireland, I was going to get a tattoo. I wanted to get the Henderson's Relish, which is a condiment made in Sheffield. I was going to get the barcode from the label tattooed on the back of my neck, and then it's say made in Sheffield underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And I was awful. Dead serious.
No, but that's just a tacky tattoo. What I'm talking about more so is, right, you know, like prison tattoos have got really, really popular in more recent years. There's not as much detail and it's not as time consuming. There's not as much shading, the whole thing. The whole point is that's a more simplistic tattoo.
Yeah.
Completely get that. But I'm seeing a lot of tattoos where they need the work put into them, but there just isn't the shading and the level of artistry that you were previously seeing. And people go, oh, look, this is so dead. And it's like, it's fucking shit. Like, but again, I'm saying that to you and our listeners. I'm not saying to the person, it's none of my business. Same way a girl with lip fillers that I think maybe she's put a bit too much in, it's not for me to say. She may love it, but Neil is going to tell you what he thinks, apparently. Anyway, back to Charles.
Charlie boy.
He's doing the most in Arkansas State Teacher College. And while in this school, one of Charles' friends had actually broken up with his girlfriend, and so he threw out all of the pictures he had of her. So, do you know what old Charlie boy decides to do?
Go on.
He retrieves these photographs, cuts out the eyes, and tapes them to the ceiling of his friend's room.
What?
Charlie? What? That's so Charlie.
Okay.
It was basically just being a dick. Like, I think it was kind of like you can't get away from her. Her eyes are following you everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the eye thing again. And it's kind of like, Charlie, all right. Anyway, moving into adulthood, he settled down somewhat, marrying Betty, his college sweetheart, and they went on to have a daughter together. But eventually, Betty got fucked off at him and left with their daughter.
I wonder why.
Fucking eyes everywhere. She's sick of it. Never a moment's peace. Charles would often become restless and didn't stay in the same job for long. He delivered newspapers, he made baseball bats at one point. He told people that he was a bullfighter, and my personal favourite out of all of his ventures, he became a qualified beautician and called himself Mr. Charlie.
Like, just stop. Just fucking, just... If he said this to me face to face, just tell him to shut up. Like, go and haunt someone else. Fuck off.
Go and haunt someone else.
Go and bother someone else.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't think it's, you know, abnormal for someone to change careers. But it's a case with him, he's just kind of never happy.
Yeah.
He's never going to settle. He's always kind of like, well, I've done that now. What next?
I actually know some people like that.
You're a bit like that, though.
What?
You're someone who, you know, you get really kind of hot and heavy on one hobby, not so much a career.
Oh, okay.
But like a hobby, you know, and you're really, really, really into it. And then you're kind of, you've moved on from it and you're on to the next thing, which, you know, it doesn't bother me. I get that's who you are, you know, and you do that. The only thing that kind of annoys me about it is you can get so stressed out. You'll put so much money into something and then it's all for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like what?
I know you would continue with airsoft, but airsoft is
just
one thing.
The time.
I know that. I know you haven't like given up on airsoft, but you've put so much money into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that kid's there for when I go.
Mm-hmm.
When I go, I play an airsoft, not when I die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gaming. So we both love gaming. We don't really have a lot of time to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But we both love it. You will put so much time and effort into that. And I'm not saying it's for nothing, but you start to forget about everything else around you that you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of way. Like, a lot of the time I'll say to you, you need to kind of organize and have a schedule because you struggle to stick to it.
Mm.
But you always say to me, I hate a schedule. I'm like, but you have to get stuff done.
Yeah. I'll rebel against the schedule.
Yeah, you like, we'll have so many arguments because you just refuse to do shit. I remember that time I asked you, I can't remember what it was. I was in the middle of doing something. You're like, do you need me to help? Do you want me to do something while you're whatever?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I can't remember what it was. I said, yeah, can you take the bin out? And you went, yeah, grand. So you sat down with a photo album and started putting the photos together. It's just like grand, but could you also do the bin? Bin never got done. I did the bin or whatever it was.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Charles was also an artist at one point, and someone he knew had commissioned a painting of his wife from Charlie. But Charlie was taking his time with this painting, and after a few weeks, the man asked Charlie what was taking so long. Charlie reassured him that he was almost finished. He just had one last detail to complete. The eyes.
Of course. Knew that would come in.
In 1969, Charles faked his qualifications and managed to obtain a job at a high school. Now, the position he obtained was not just, you know, teacher. It wasn't like a substitute teacher or what have you. Mm. Head of biology.
Oh, see, I thought it was going to be like eye tester. I couldn't think of the name.
An optician.
That's the one.
In a high school.
Yeah, they wouldn't have one, would they?
No, not so much.
Well, I was trying to think of something to do with eyes.
Well, it's just, this lad is just such a fucking Billy bullshitter. You know, it's one thing to be like, I'm so great, I'm 10 men, I did this. Now you're actually faking qualifications to work with kids.
Well, that's a criminal offence, isn't
it? It's no good, yes. Fucking fraud.
Yeah.
He also coached the football team while there and was said to have been loved by the students. He was the teacher that the young ones were swooning over.
I bet. Is that his words?
No, that's what people said. Like, he was Mr. Charlie over there. You know what I mean?
I was calling bullshit.
A lot of people did say he was quite an attractive man. I mean, I personally don't really see it, but you know, he was tall, he was broad. People were into it.
People said it about Ted Bundy and I thought he looked like a fuck.
I don't fucking understand the Ted Bundy thing. I don't see it. Like, nothing about the man.
That other one.
Ramirez. Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, I don't see that. Like, I'm not into fellas, but I don't see that.
I said it to you before, right? I'll give it to him. Fucking great head of hair, high cheekbones, that's it. That does not a beautiful person make.
That other one, Ed Kemper.
Who's Ed Kemper?
No, I don't know.
I mean, he's got the height if you're into it, but that's about it.
He hasn't really got a chin, has he?
No, not so much.
And then he's got like the turkey thing. I don't know what you call it. Glandula? Is it a glandula? Is that what it's called?
His neck.
Yeah, it hangs down from where his chin should be.
Mm. Anyway, you'll be glad to hear that Charles was eventually sacked. He pleaded guilty to fraud and was given a year's probation. Now, speaking of probation, a few of Charles' other crimes include 1971, he was arrested for forging cashier checks. 1979, he was arrested after stealing 2 bottles of perfume. 1980, he served 6 months after stealing a saw from a Handy Dan hardware store.
What?
In 1991, it was reported that he stole $190 worth of baseball cards from a Walmart. So basically, anything that wasn't fucking nailed down.
Is he from Sheffield?
Bit of a klepto he was, yes. Possibly there was some family connection to Sheffield.
Like, we'd nick the nails.
Also, $190 fucking dollars worth of baseball cards. What did he do? Just pick up the entire fucking rack and walk out? That's a lot of, like, especially, like, in, what was it, 91? I can't imagine them being that expensive.
No, I'd have said, what, like, $2 a pack?
Something like that. I mean, if even.
No, I'd say about two. Oh, no, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably be about 190 packs.
That's insane. It must have been he just took the whole fucking rack.
Or a box. He found a box of them.
Mm.
So basically, we've got another speck on our hands.
Kind of, yeah.
It's just all up. Fucking...
He just keeps fucking doing shit. I can't keep up. In the late 70s, Charles became an active member at the St. Bernard's Catholic Church in East Dallas. He sang in the choir and befriended other parishioners. One family in particular, Charles had become especially close with. That was until the day that their teenage daughter told her parents that Charles had been sexually abusing her.
No good.
Well, her parents did report it, but they wanted to avoid trial, as not to traumatise their child any further. And so the prosecution reached a plea deal with Charles. On the 25th of March, 1985, Charles confessed to, quote, knowingly and intentionally engage in deviant sexual intercourse. You see, Charles knew better than to fight this. If he did, he risked being exposed. If he just quietly got on with this, the family were less likely to push back further. For his crimes, he was placed on probation and essentially avoided overall detection.
I don't agree with probation.
I don't know what it is about this man, but he got probation so many times. And I don't know how with the previous. Anytime he was incarcerated, it was for relatively short stints of time.
Like he did, what were it, 6 months for nicking a saw from a hardware shop?
Mm-hmm.
He did 6 months, so he did more time for that.
He's got such a record.
Yeah.
But somehow he always kind of wangles his way out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Slimy bastard.
Exactly. Not long after this, Charles met an Arkansas woman named Dixie, who had been widowed. On one of their dates, he took her hunting for salamanders. He said it was his dream to find a new species that he could name after himself. Fucking okay, Charles. Bit egotistical, no?
Salamander, it's a lizard, isn't it?
Yeah. Why does everyone want to name shit after themselves? What is that? Get a fucking life.
Yeah, and like, that wouldn't work for me or you. You know, say if I found a new species of bird, right, that is the Neil.
That's shit.
Or the Johnston. Look at that Johnston bird.
Johnston works a bit better.
Then Gilbert bird. Oh, Gilbert
Gilbert's
bird.
Good. Yeah, Gilbert works.
But the Megan.
You'd have to kind of work with my name, the mega something. Do you get what I mean?
No, that's not how it works.
No, well, I'm gonna. No, but seriously, I really don't get that ego thing. Name it after me.
Yeah.
Why?
Fucking Charles.
Moving into the mid to latter years of his life, described by those on his senior softball team as happy-go-lucky with a great sense of humour, not the type of guy to engage in confrontational behaviour. And if there was ever any tension or conflict, they noticed that Charles would always back down. By now, he had settled down with Dixie, who he was planning to marry, or at least that's what she thought. As far as his income goes at this stage, he made money from properties he rented, which had been left to him by his parents.
Fucking lucky bastard.
Well, he wasn't actually making much from this, and Dixie was the one who was predominantly supporting them through her job.
How was he not making much?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the situation was. I mean, how the fuck, as a landlord, was he not taking money?
Yeah.
But the money he did have, he seemed to spend on sex workers. It seems Charles always had a bit of a side to him, but it's thought that he may have started to really unravel following the deaths of his parents. In 1981, his mother passed away of cancer. Their relationship had become strained in later years due to her disappointment in him and his annoyance over her intrusive nature. But Charles still went out and bought a dress for his mother to be laid to rest in. This may not seem like something too unusual or extravagant, But in life, Dell had been incredibly careful with her money, predominantly filling her wardrobe with clothing from secondhand shops. She rarely bought new clothes for herself. This was likely the first time that Charles had seen his mother in a brand new outfit.
This is when he's going to spiral.
I have just said that.
Oh.
After the death of his mother, Charles' relationship with his father was said to have improved, and they would even go out to dinner every week. This was until Frank's death in 1986, due to a heart attack. Now, like I mentioned, his inheritance included his parents' home as well as their rental properties, and around $100,000. He decided to keep the rental properties in his father's name, and he and Dixie lived in the family home. So, not a bad inheritance, right?
Mm.
It only took Charlie Boy 4 years to blow through this money.
Yeah, that's easily done. 100K.
In 4 years?
Yeah.
In the 80s?
Oh.
You already have a home and rental properties.
Yeah, but if you...
And you've got a variety of careers to choose from.
Yeah, but if you bought a car, you're addicted to sex workers. They can be a bit costly. And then how many cars did he have?
I'm really starting to get the image of why you're not great with money.
I don't go to sex workers and I only have one car.
Allegedly. $100,000.
Yeah.
Now, that is... like nowadays, 100 grand is not that much. But if someone handed to me... you fucking know damn well I'm doing something with that money to better my life.
Yeah. That Leave
would,
me, probably.
That would help me so much.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And you also already got a house and properties to rent out to keep to supplement your income.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, oh, it's easily done.
Well, a brand what? New... So if he bought top of the range brand new car...
Why would you do that? Why would you blow all the money on a car? That's insane.
Because he's got it.
But meanwhile, Dixie is supporting them in their day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's a bit shit. Yeah. Yeah, continue.
I'm outraged that you're defending it, if I'm honest with you. Now, I can't tell you exactly where all of his money went. I would assume a portion went on his hobbies slash failed ventures. But also the sex workers who Charlie would go to. Some of these women would later say that he would buy them drugs or food, even just giving them cash to keep them going.
Mm.
They said that he was this charming, sweet, caring man, and then there was this sexually sadistic side to him. One of the women had previously worked as a nurse in a psychiatric unit, and she said that she always felt there was something wrong.
With him?
Yes. In the 90s, there was high rates of violent crimes in Dallas, Texas. And according to John Matthews, a former officer of the Dallas Police Department, in 1991, they had over 500 homicides in the city of Dallas. In the south of the city, Oak Cliff saw particularly high levels of crime. You know, in this area, it wasn't uncommon for sex workers to operate in the middle of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that was kind of, it was kind of accepted that there was illegal activity going on. It wasn't as much fear. It was kind of, that's the area. Regina Smith, a former officer, said that because of this, she had gotten to know some of the women who worked in the area. And a lot of these women were struggling with substance abuse. So she felt a certain responsibility to look out for them.
Mm.
33-year-old Mary Lou Pratt was one of the women working in Oak Cliff. She grew up not far from the area. Her family still lived nearby, and she'd been working there for a while. Her family was important to her, and she was wanting to leave sex work. Sadly, on the 13th of December, 1990, Mary's body was found, left by the side of the road. She was wearing just a t-shirt and bra, which had been pulled up, exposing her breasts. She was laid with her arms over her head, and she'd been severely beaten before being shot in the back of the head with a .44 Magnum. Now, I'm not keen on using this wording, but essentially, her body had just been dumped on the road in a residential area. This was not the location of the murder, and clearly, her killer wanted her body to be found. A resident of the area who found Mary was so distressed by the sight that he ran back into his house and grabbed a bedsheet to cover her. Although I'm sure this was meant as an act of compassion, it's also a great way to contaminate a crime scene.
Oh, shit.
Mm.
Oh. See, I was thinking, oh, that's nice, respectful. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
I mean, it was, you know, he was trying to kind of do right by her, but unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when the body has already been moved from the location of the murder, the evidence is diminished.
So with her body being dumped out on the road, I'm guessing the killer drove up and pushed her out while the car was still moving.
I mean, probably didn't just push her out and leave her there because the body was positioned. You know,
wanted her to be found. Residential, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the smartest guy when it comes to murder here.
It's a risky game, that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for this guy, though. Not the killer, the
resident
neighbor.
Of the area, yeah. Like I mentioned, police were familiar with Mary. Although she'd been in sex work for years, she wasn't one of the more extroverted women who would seek out clients. She had her regulars and the motel where she would usually work out of. During the autopsy, the medical examiner opened her eyes to note the colour. To her shock, both of Mary's eyes had been removed.
There it is.
The reason this hadn't been immediately noticed was that the killer had removed the eyes to a surgical standard. There was no scarring or bleeding obvious at the point of discovery. Her mutilation was precise. Following Mary's death, police speak with other women who worked alongside her to see if they had any information or thoughts as to who may have done this. They told the police about their worst clients, but none of them fit the profile. What was noted, though, was how far away Mary's body was found from the area she worked in. She would usually stay within a distance as a sort of safety precaution. While patrolling in the area, police noticed that another woman, Veronica Rodriguez, had injuries to her head and throat. When Officer Regina asked what had happened to her, Veronica told them that she had almost been killed and that she had had to run and hide from the killer. She said that she had been with Mary on the night of her murder and that she had managed to get away, but Mary did not. Veronica told the officers that she had ran barefoot and partially clothed through a field, and as she was very petite, she was able to hide in a drainage pipe.
Fucking hell.
I know. As she hid, she could hear the man calling out her name. That's fucking...
Yeah. I don't even like it when we were watching a playthrough of someone playing a horror game, and you're hiding and you can hear the killer breathing.
Mm.
Looking
no good.
For you.
No fucking
but
good.
But calling your name?
Yeah. Now, when she did finally get a chance, she took off and she ran to the nearby house of someone she knew, and luckily, they took her in. A few days later, police run into Veronica again, but this time, she's with a client. The man was a truck driver named Axton Schindler, nicknamed Speedy. Because he was like fast talking, kind of more fidgety, nervousy guy.
Oh, not as fast at deliveries?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it could be that as well, but it was much more attributed to his speech.
Okay.
So, of course, police want to have a word with Axton, but Veronica pleaded for police to leave him alone and that he was the person who had saved her that night. The problem was, Veronica was known to exaggerate the truth, and at times, due to her drug use, some of the things she said were incoherent. This cast a doubt as to the credibility of her statements, and her story, details were ever-changing. But one thing they did note was, the core of her story remained the same. The night of Mary's murder, she was also attacked. When asked to corroborate Veronica's version of events, Axton said that he didn't know what she was talking about, but he did confirm that he had known her for years. So, was Axton lying? Could Axton have been worried about being linked in some way? And did Veronica not remember the entire story of the night? Or was Veronica scared? And could that be part of the reason why her story was changing? Whatever the truth may be, police obtained Axton's full name and address, and they find out that the address he had given was not his own, but his landlord's, Charles Albright. And that is where we're going to leave it today for part one. How are you feeling so far? I know you weren't thrilled about the eyeballation of the situation.
Eyeballation. Fuck me.
Really fucking stretching it now, aren't I?
Yeah. I swear to God, if they go in his house and he's got a jar of eyeballs, it's how you were talking about taxidermy earlier that made me think.
Fucked you up.
Yeah. So now all I can see is like a dead ferret with fucking big blue fucking eyes.
I'll tell you, no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you've already told me that.
Yeah.
But I've still got that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One thing I did take from it, you know when you said Veronica had ran and she'd knocked on a house and they let her in?
Mm-hmm.
That's something what's so fucking dangerous now because there's so many people using that as a scam to get in and rob you. There's a lot of doors you'd knock on and they'd go, fuck off. They wouldn't believe you.
I mean, I kind of ran that scenario in my head. What do I do? Because I don't really want to let someone I don't know into my home.
Mm.
You know, I it's kind of like, do I tell them, like, go around the back and I will call police for you? Or something like that? Because I can't let you in. But what if something happens and I've left them outside? I don't, you know what I mean? There's no kind of right answer there.
I think for me, and this is male or female, I think I would let them in, obviously. But I'd say, you keep your hands where I can fucking see them. You put your hand in your pocket, I'm having you. Done. Like, you're coming in my home, I need to see your hands.
So, you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, guns in America versus over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
That is one, admittedly, it's a more extreme situation and not your everyday occurrence. Mm. But that is one of those situations where if you do have a gun, you can let someone in and you have protection there if that was the case.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, even allowing for that of you've got the safety, I still don't want to fire a gun at someone. I don't ever want to do that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's a big difference to firing a gun at a shooting range and experiencing it and all that kind of thing to holding a gun at a person. That's,
Yeah.
You know.
I think there's a big difference as well to pointing a gun at someone and pulling the trigger.
I mean, there definitely fucking is.
I thought I was being a bit poetic then.
One is a threat. One is attempted or murder.
Yeah. Yeah. One's threatening to harm and one's harming. Yeah. Bit of a difference.
Bit of a difference.
Well, I can't wait for part two.
Have I reeled you in enough?
Yes. Yeah. As long as you don't fucking harp on about the fucking eyeballs.
I think you seem to kind of enjoy the episodes when we're kind of getting into a bit of a backstory.
Yeah, because like,
you can kind of like talk about it and have a laugh at some of the sillier things without, you know, obviously the more darker side of the case where we're just laughing at, you know, Charles being a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, enough of that. Get on with Oddity.
The grilled cheese.
Okay.
You're like, I'm listening.
I'm really, I'm in the mood for a fucking grilled cheese.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to have after this?
I think so.
On Sunday, the 8th of January, 2017, in Maryland, 55-year-old Daniel Brian Blackwell became agitated when his wife took a bite out of his grilled cheese sandwich.
Understandable.
Well, that I get. Daniel, in a completely rational move, stormed off down to the basement.
Okay. With his grilled cheese.
I don't know if he took it with him or if he didn't even want it at that
You've
point.
You soiled it.
I would be a bit like that. Like, no, you know, you can have it. I'll make myself a fresh one. Okay. If it means that much to you. A little while later, his wife hears a shot. Quote, at that point, she went down to the basement to check on her husband and found him surrounded by guns and ammunition and went back upstairs. Now, that sounds slightly odd to me. Was she thinking like, fuck this, I'm staying out of his way? Or was it more like he's whinging like a little bitch? Maybe he's doing his gun maintenance to take his mind off and calm down.
Mm.
You know, like, is that his zone out activity? She's like, oh, leave him to it.
When you said there was a shot, I thought, well, that's a bit dramatic.
Mm.
As he took his own life because she just took a bite out of his grilled cheese.
Well, the thing is, Neil, whatever the case may be, Daniel reappears, sees his wife in the kitchen making dinner before returning to the basement. Not long after this, three shots are fired through the floor of the kitchen.
It's a bit excessive, isn't it?
Yeah, you're laughing and joking. Daniel is not joking
no.
when it comes to grilled cheese.
No, he's not messing about.
His wife... Guy. His wife gathers their three kids who are in the house and gets the hell out of there and calls the police. As authorities arrive on scene, they discover that Danny Boy had barricaded himself inside the house and a standoff ensues.
And he's got an arsenal?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
I'm not taking the piss here. A negotiation team were also called in. And after 3 hours, Daniel steps out of the house onto the porch. Now, he's not armed, but he is wearing an ammunition holster. So police use pepper balls in order to subdue him and bring him into custody.
That's not fair.
What do you mean?
That's not fair. You've been negotiating for 3 hours.
But he shouldn't have had anything. If you see any type of holster, anything, and you know he's got a shit ton of guns, you know he's discharged a weapon. What, you know, as the police officer, in fairness to them, you're going to be a bit on edge.
They could have used the rubber balls, like pepper fucking balls. They're fucking lethal, them.
Well, they're not lethal. That's the point of them.
Well, no, but to your eyes, we're back on eyes.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit excessive.
Do you?
Unless they said, remove that slowly and carefully, and if he went, get fucked.
He did fire up into a room where his, you know, wife was and kids were nearby.
Yeah, but she took a bite out of his sandwich. The police didn't, so...
What? So you're saying they shouldn't have any ill will towards him?
Well, he hasn't posed a threat to them because they didn't bite his sandwich.
He has, like you said, an arsenal of weapons.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. You're right. I'm wrong.
I'm not saying that. I'm just like, I don't think it was.
How you've told me.
Yeah.
There's a standoff and negotiations for 3 hours. And then he has stepped out, mm-hmm. as you said, unarmed.
Yeah.
And then they fired him with fucking pepper spray balls.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's excessive.
Don't you think he should have come out with, I don't mean nothing on, but I mean literally hands up, nothing on, nothing strapped to his body, anything.
What's he going
to
do? Throw a magazine at him?
But they don't know. They don't know anything. Do you know what I mean? They're just seeing him, their hope. 3 hours, Neil.
Okay.
He's already fired at his wife.
Yeah, okay.
So within the home, police found 15 guns, 4 of which were loaded, and a quote, lever action long gun with a chambered round placed just inside the front door. So, although police didn't know at the time, once you walk in there, you will be thinking, hang the fuck on.
Mm.
What's that doing right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, sidebar, Neil, you previously mentioned that you thought it was a bit kind of, you know, redundant to have a gun in your home if they were not loaded or, you know, if not loaded, having the mag loaded nearby.
Yes.
Do you agree that in a case like this, the fact that the guns were loaded should be taken into consideration? He's already fired the gun. So the fact that four were loaded.
No. I'm only talking about you've got a pistol in your bedroom, you know, near your nightstand.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a fucking arsenal down in the basement. No, of course. Need for them to be loaded.
No, I understand that. But I mean, in terms of what he's being charged with or what he's going to be sentenced with, do you think that should be like up his sentence?
Yes.
Okay.
They're loaded for use.
Well, do you want to hear something else? Something else that's just fantastic.
Okay.
Daniel was not even allowed to own guns due to his previous convictions. So he's really fucking swinging the lead here.
Taking the piss.
As a result of his grilled cheese rage-fueled attack, he was charged with attempted first-degree and second-degree murder, first- and second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, as well as numerous firearm violations.
How long was his sentence?
I don't know.
Well, inside he's not going to get a grilled cheese.
They didn't fuck about, though, with the charges. I'm happy to see.
Yeah.
You know, they were literally like, fuck you, we're throwing the book at you.
Imagine if they'd shown up and just gone, it's just a domestic.
Do you know what? There has been some cases where you're like, oh, lads, come on. There you go. I mean, this, it's not funny. It's fucking horrific. It's traumatizing for his wife and kids. I don't want to fucking downplay that, obviously. But it's the grilled cheese. Do you know, if it had been like a bowl of pasta, it wouldn't have been as funny. It's the grilled cheese.
Yeah, but I could see me going off the deep, not to this extent.
No.
But if I made the effort of making a grilled cheese and then you delayed me in any way, so the cheese hardened and it weren't warm anymore, then I'd be like, you know.
It's a time sensitive food.
Yeah.
Yes. But I mean, I understand that, like, someone taking a bite out of your food, like, oh, fuck me. When we have fried eggs and Neil looks at my egg, like, there's nearly a fight. There's nearly hands being fucking thrown. Do you know what I mean?
I remember when I first moved over here and we'd made a fry up, and obviously I'd ate mine a lot quicker than Megan had ate
hers. I'm a very, very slow eater.
And I'd got a bit of sausage left, but no egg. So I looked at Megan and I went, can I dip my sausage in your egg? And she fucking held a fork at me.
Yeah, I was basically like a dog foaming at the mouth to fucking teeth baring. I was like, fucking get away from my plate. Do you know what? I will happily make you food. You know, I will fucking, even if it's something different to me, I will make you your own meal. I will do that for you.
Yeah.
But once that's done, don't look at my plate. That's none of your concern now. You've made your bed.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go and have a grilled cheese. Whatever you do, do not take a fucking bite out of it.
Yeah, I fucking know better now.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.